Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi wa kafa, wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidinil mustafa sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathira. Amma ba'd, faqad qala Allahu tabaraka wa ta'ala fil Qur'anil Majid, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإن خفتم ألا تقسطوا في اليتامى فانكحوا ما طاب لكم من النساء مثنى وثلاث ورباع فإن خفتم ألا تعدلوا فواحدة وما ملكت أيمانكم ذلك أدنى ألا تعودوا صدق الله العظيم وقد قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم النكاح من سنتي وقد قال فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني وكما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الحمد لله وذ فضل کرم ان احسان وف اللہ تعالی اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی has allowed for us to gather in his house, and this is a great ni'mat, a great boon, a great favor from Allah تعالی. None of us can come to the masjid on our own accord. It is only the love of Allah Ta'ala that draws us to His house. So if Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gives us tawfiq to come to His house, then this is a great ni'mat, a great bounty, and we should always make shukr to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And Allah Rabbul Izzat mentions, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, that if you are grateful, then I will increase my bounty on you. So the more shukr we will make, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase the bounties. So today there will be a nikah also taking place. So some advices pertaining to nikah will be given. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He sent Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a Nabi to the Ummat, then there were many things taking place in the days of Jahiliyyah, which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and regulated. For example, war was taking place, and so much of oppression would take place in war. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and regulated the laws of war. Today people claim to be human rights and this rights and that rights, but in full view of the entire world and all these organizations, we see the atrocities that are taking place, and nobody is prepared to put a stop to it. But Huzur e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he had given regulations that what is allowed, what is not allowed, then he saw to it that nobody transgresses. Even in war, there was still so much of compassion, that when Huzur e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Makkah Mukarrama on the occasion of Fateh Makkah, then read it in the annals of history, what a beautiful, humble entrance Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam made, and how everybody's, forget their rights being, you know, preserved, ihsan was shown on them, kindness was shown on them. People were slaughtering animals all their lives to eat. But when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, then he regulated that also. That even when you are slaughtering, there should be kindness. When it came to slavery was existing before Islam. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and regulated the laws of slavery. And the barakat of that, of those laws that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam stipulated, we found that great scholars of Islam, if we look at their ancestry, they come from a family of slaves. Even Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, if you go into in his lineage also, they come from a family of slaves. Ikrama rahmatullah alayhi, who was a great mufassir, a student of Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, also comes from a lineage of slavery. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even the laws of nikah prior to Islam, if one has to study what was happening in marriage, how much of zulm was taking place, whether it came to the laws of nikah, whether it came to how husband and wife lived, and also what used to happen if a lady was divorced or if her husband had to pass away, the amount of zulm that would take place. But the beautiful sunnah that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left for us, regulated everything in nikah also. It showed what life a husband and wife should lead together. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the best amongst you are those who are the best to their wives. And I am the best to my wives. So a person sometime, we are, you know, we want to become professionals in many fields. Any new game comes out also, a person now wants to master that. Some new gadget comes out, we want to master it. But how many of us are following the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in mastering becoming that perfect husband? Allah Ta'ala, give me tawfiq first. It's easier said than done. I can sit here and give a very flowery talk on the kind of akhlaq we must have towards our wives and how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was towards the Ummahatul Mu'mineen. And let me just go home and the little bit salt is less in the food, then I forgot the whole talk also. They must just say something and finish, everything is forgotten after that. So really, Allah Ta'ala must give us the tawfiq, you know, to be those husbands that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our role model. The Ummahatul Mu'mineen radiyallahu ta'ala hunna ajma'in, they say never a time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came in the house not smiling. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come into the house, the first thing he would do was use a miswak, because now I'm going to go close to my wife. So I must not have a foul smell. Although Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was never any foul smell on his Mubarak body. Even his perspiration was such, filled with so much of scent, so much of perfume in his perspiration, fragrance in his Mubarak perspiration, that some people would collect that perspiration and keep it, and then they would add it to the most expensive oud, the most expensive fragrances around at that time. They would add the Mubarak perspiration of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to those fragrances to enhance those fragrances. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was no foul smell going to come out of his Mubarak body. But he did all of this to teach us, to leave a lesson for the ummah, that how we must live with our wives. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came home, then he carried out household chores. We feel, our Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Mazhar Sahib Daun Barakatuh, he always mentions this, that main bohat busy hu, bohat bara businessman hu, to bohat busy hu, that I'm very busy now. So because I'm working and I'm earning, and I may be the breadwinner at home, so when I come home now, then I'm the Badshah. Nobody must expect me to do anything. That is not the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would come home, then he would carry out household chores. So how many of us are carrying out household chores? Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq, Allah Ta'ala give you tawfiq. Then, generally, on the occasion of nikah, when the nikah khutbah is recited, then we always hear this hadith sharif, An-nikahu min sunnati. That Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that nikah is from my sunnat. And most of the anbiya alayhim salatu was salam all made nikah. So this is a sunnat not only of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but of all the anbiya alayhim salatu was salam as well. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, An-nikahu min sunnati. And we also hear this riwayat in the khutbah of nikah. Waqad qal, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had also said, فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. That whoever turns away from my sunnat, then he is not from me. Now I think, maybe I'm wrong, but this is something in the mind, that I think that because we normally only hear this hadith sharif on the occasion of nikah, so we only take this one sunnat very serious. This فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي, we married only with nikah. Because we only hear it nikah time. And nikahu min sunnati, and then we hear فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي. The hadith is not فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنِ النِّكَاحِ فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. It's فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي. Meaning the entire sunnah of Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah maaf kare, but each one of us who are parents, we are fathers, if our son reaches the age where people normally get married, and now he's not getting married, either the samosas are not too tasty where he's going, or the father is an electrician, so he's getting switched, one of the two. Either he's not enjoying the samosa, or wherever he's going, he's putting proposal and it's not coming through. We start getting worried. We start getting worried. If a boy who's of marriageable age now, and his father tells him, mother tells him, but you know what, you need to settle down. He says, no, I'm not ready as yet. Start getting worried. He says, no, talk to the mamaji, must talk to him. That other uncle is good with him, let him talk to him. Take him by his ustad, let him give him some encouragement. And then what we will say, that nikah is a sunnat. Nikah is a sunnat. So why aren't you ready? You must make amal. It's the sunnat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Same with our daughters. If the daughter is not getting proposal, every now and again we get calls. Don't come ask me for the numbers, right? But we get calls all the time. Father's phoning. Say, Mona, you know what? Poiri che garma. This girl at home now, she's of age. If you know of anybody, please, you know, refer them. You start getting worried that now my daughter is at home. Is she going to settle down? Is she going to get married? So my question, it is important, and we must continue doing this. We must continue doing this. Allah forbid. You know, before the old, in times gone by, if the boy wasn't, he's telling his parents he's not ready. So now they start thinking that he got somebody, you know. But that person who he got is not respectable enough for him to bring to the table. So he's keeping quiet. That was the fikr. Wallah, brothers, today's time, when the child is saying he's not ready, mothers and fathers are crying that it mustn't be, he's gone the other direction. That's happening in the ummah also. Allah protect us. Allah protect us. That today when the person is saying he's not ready, then we don't know whether he's gone in another direction. So we must continue doing this, is give our children targhib, encourage them that they must make nikah, they must get married. And there is nothing wrong if a father of a girl looks for a good suitor for his daughter, there's nothing wrong with that. Some people, it's like a pride thing that, no, I'm not, our daughter is not on the road. No, there's nothing wrong. If you have a daughter and you know that there is a good boy in the community, you are seeing him, and you feel that, no, this will make a good match for my daughter, there's nothing wrong with you approaching his father also. It's not only that the boy's side must approach, the girl's side can also approach. There's nothing wrong, at all nothing wrong. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anh, when he wanted to get his daughter, Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu anh, married, then he approached Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anh. He approached Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anh. He was taking the proposal forward. So there's nothing wrong with taking the proposal from the girl's side also. But this one lesson that I want to conclude on is that just as we give so much of importance to the sunnat of nikah, what about every other sunnat? So much of importance. We get fikr man if my child is not getting married. When my child is not making amal on other sunnats, why am I not getting worried? When I am not making amal on other sunnats, why am I not getting worried? So this فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي is not only for nikah, is for each and every sunnat of Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Elders, ulama, brothers, wallahi there is a drive worldwide, even in Muslim countries, to distance the ummah from the sunnat of Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are countries in which there are majority Muslim that are passing laws in opposition to the sunnat, giving fines to people if they want to follow the sunnat. Each and every sunnat must be dear to us. And we must be prepared to give our life for each and every sunnat of Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we must start in our homes, bring about a mahol, an environment of sunnat in our homes. We are people that eat on the dastarkhan, not people that eat on table and chair. Person is mazur is a different story. We are people of trouser above the ankle, not below the ankle. So eat, we must study the sunnats. Recently, Hazrat Mufti Ibrahim Saraji Sahib of Talimuddin Swingo Beach gave a bayan, and he spoke about this brother by the name of Suhail Desai. Rahmatullah Ali, he passed away in a motor car accident. But he had one friend who used to always encourage, him that by grow your beard, man. Grow your beard 1 foot length. So Suhail, apparently he used to have a beard, sometime he'll trim it, sometime. But this friend used to always give him tarheeb that grow it. And then eventually he started growing it. And he met in a motor car accident. He passed away. And some time later, this friend dreams him. He dreams him. And in the dream, he looks at him. He is looking very nurani, dressed all in white. Jannati clothing, you know. His basharat, you see the person dressed in white. And he's telling this friend, he's holding his beard. And he's telling the friend, he said, This thing saved me. So these are just few sunnats we're talking about. But there are many, many sunnats. We have to make a study of it and make amal. Each and every sunnat, bring it in our lives. Slowly but surely, our lives, our children's lives. Our lifestyle is different. It's the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our fashion is different. It's the fashion of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everything that we do must be how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. This kuffar lifestyle, Western lifestyle, that is not our lifestyle. That is not our way. Our way is the tariqah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq. Allah give you tawfiq. Allah grant the entire ummah tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.